Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 252 of your favorite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel is back. We return, and so does Formula One. Finally, it is race week once again, because Jamie and I were talking about this pre-show. It has felt like a long time since Formula One was back, mainly because we had a 2-week break, 2 pretty boring races, and then the summer break. So the last kind of good F1 race, Nico Hülkenberg stood on the F1 podium, which was pretty much 2 months ago now, which is
a long time.
It has been a very long time. First of all, though, Jamie183, how are we doing, sir?
Doing well. Yeah, it's been a nice bank holiday weekend in England. Yeah, very hot yesterday, so that was nice. France was a lot of fun. I'm sure people will enjoy calling me middle class, or even worse, in the comments, as which is probably
you're definitely
deserved.
Not, there's no way a middle class person goes on holiday as much as you.
I mean, I do it very cheaply.
Yeah, that's what they
but
all
we
say.
We hired a boat and went around Nice.
Hired a boat? sorry, was this like a 120-foot yacht or something, was it?
No,
Just something low-key.
Probably about 3 meters, something like that. There were 5 of us on it, and it felt like it was going to capsize a few times. So
Fair enough.
Not the best vessel.
It wasn't a toy
boater, was it? No, thankfully not. but yes, we saw a few very nice 120-meter yachts, but sadly didn't blag away on 28 of those.
No, fair enough. Jamie's not the smooth talker he once thought he was. Clearly, ladies and gentlemen. When Knowing Wheel, when we've got enough money to buy a yacht, we'll moor it in Monaco, and people can answer one question about the podcast, and then they'll be allowed on. Fantastic.
It's like a quiz on the door to make sure you
exactly,
get
exactly, yeah. Security will know everything about Knowing Wheel, and they'll ask a random question. Fantastic. It's a bit of a weird one, though, isn't it, Jamie? Because obviously, Dutch Grand Prix this weekend. Looking forward to having Formula One back. It's not the best circuit in the world, though, is it?
It might rain.
That could definitely spice things up, like it did in 2023, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Gasly got a podium.
But we got, obviously, with it, you know, with the summer break coming to a close, we have got a few bits to talk about. But once again, it's kind of what it feels like. F1 in 2025. Most of the conversations to talk about is all just hypotheticals, isn't it? Which is a little bit strange.
Well, because obviously the factories and the drivers all stop working for 2 weeks. And the media outlets generally do that as well, to be honest. Or they go down to a skeleton crew at the most. So there really isn't much that's happened in the last 3 weeks of Formula One. You've still got rumours of Cadillac doing things because obviously they haven't had to shut down. I don't think they did shut down.
No, they agreed to do part... Oh, no, sorry, that's at the end of the year, isn't it? They've agreed to do the winter shutdown for some reason, even though they don't have to.
Yeah, but because they're not a team yet, they don't have to abide by cost cap and they don't have to shut the factory, so that's actually quite handy. Although they're still going to be terrible, so...
Probably. I think just immediately going, they're going to be terrible is... I think they're trying to, obviously, they don't want to come in and go, oh yeah, we're going to be best of the rest immediately and then end up last. You're always better off kind of trying to lower expectations as opposed to raise them, aren't you? But that does segue us quite nicely into our first topic of conversation. We've spoke about it so many times before. Apparently now it's kind of confirmed, but it is meant to be Bottas and Perez at Cadillac next year, which we've spoke about a few times. It's a bit of a boring lineup in many ways, but it's a sensible lineup for a new team, isn't it?
It is, because you just know that they're both safe pairs of hands that, well, Bottas certainly won't stack it all the time. We'll see how Perez does if the Red Bull era was just a...
But a Perez was a pretty safe pair of hands before Red Bull anyway.
He was. And yeah, it just means that you know you have a good benchmark of the car because, you know, you remember back 2021 Haas, that car actually wasn't that bad. We will stand by that because...
It definitely wasn't as far off the pace as people make out.
Had two rookies.
Yeah, I would say it was probably on par with the Williams.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't as cut adrift as it was made out to be. No. Because he had Schumacher and Mazepin. And then a year later, Schumacher got trounced by Magnussen. And then a year later, Magnussen got trounced by Hülkenberg. And respectfully, Hülkenberg isn't one of the top three on the grid, is he? So, yeah, the fact that Schumacher-Mazepin drove that car to last, I wonder if they even had a Hulk-Perez lineup back in the day or something like that. If that Haas car would have been quite good. They're going to avoid that situation at Cadillac because they do have a lineup that will be decent. Obviously, they both had a year out. Bottas has a grid penalty to give, which is quite
hilarious,
funny.
Hilarious, bless him.
So I think it's a solid lineup. It's not the most exciting. It screams 2010 Lotus with Kovalainen and Trulli, doesn't it? But
yes, yeah.
Just who's unemployed and decent, and we know they're going to do a good job.
Yeah, which to be fair, worked for 2010 Lotus, didn't it? Lotus Cater, or whatever they were called. Well, they were best of the backmarkers, weren't they?
Yeah, quite comfortably best of the backmarkers.
Yeah, and it's often forgotten as well. I was watching a video about that team in 2012, and I'd kind of forgotten just how close they got to nearly being a midfield team, like being in the backmarker three anymore.
Yeah, they were mixing it with Toro Rosso sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I swear, was it Kovalainen and Pick that year in the catering?
I believe so. I mean, this is very off-topic immediately.
It is. But yeah, Kovalainen got through to Q2 a couple of times, didn't he, over the course of the season?
Yeah, yeah. It was they were normally kind of near there, weren't they?
Yeah.
As well, which is always quite fascinating. But anyway, back around to Cadillac, though, of course. I mean, it's... I believe apparently they're both going to be put on like a 2-year deal, I want to say. It's kind of the rumours we've seen, which obviously means that, you know, if Cadillac are absolutely woeful season one, then it's going to be more difficult for either of them to get out immediately. But of course, I think, you know, Bottas and Perez both know they've been around this game long enough that it's probably beneficial for both sides, to be honest. Cadillac means they've got two good drivers that should hopefully be there for at least two seasons. For Bottas and Perez, at least it gives them a little bit of safety as well. Because let's be fair, if they didn't sign a 2-year deal there because they were like, oh, I'll do 1 year and then hopefully get a drive elsewhere, I don't think either of them would get a drive elsewhere. Which seems a little bit harsh, but you're kind of just there going, you know, there does seem to be a bit more of an influx again of newer talent to the sport, which is a good thing.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a reason both of them aren't on the grid now. As harsh as it probably was on Bottas more than Perez, I would say, to be honest. They are yesterday's headlines, aren't they, really? So yeah. it's not that they're choosing Cadillac to hope to springboard themselves to a different team, because I just think the trend now is to promote from within quite often. And maybe that will come back around. Obviously, I think 2019, 20-ish, the trend was also to promote from within, and then people started promoting terrible rookies and then realised, oh, we probably shouldn't do that as much. So maybe it'll spin back and the older drivers will have shots elsewhere. But I think for Bottas and Perez, they're both mid-late 30s. So you'd be surprised to see them springboard back into a different team. I think Cadillac is the roll of the dice at the end of their career.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a way for both of them to get back in, isn't it? For kind of one last hurrah. And of course, obviously for Cadillac as well, obviously you've got two proven race winners. It's... Arguably, I'm trying to think. Obviously, I know, like we said a minute ago, Lotus 2010 had two race winners as well. I don't generally know if there's ever been a new team that's come in with a lineup with as many race wins. I'm guessing, obviously, it would have been Jacques Villeneuve at BAR 1999. He probably had... Did he have more? No, I don't think he had that many more wins than these two did in the end.
He'd won a championship, though, hadn't he?
Always the mad thing about Jacques Villeneuve is, of course, he won his last race before he won a championship.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Well. Jacques Villeneuve only has 11 wins. So,
it's a Bottas.
I mean,
10,
only is obviously ridiculous. Bottas has got 10. But
Perez, I think, has 7 or 8.
6, yeah.
Six.
So this is arguably the most successful lineup for a new team we've seen in a long old while. But of course,
Braun
like
must
also
have had eight.
What's that, sorry?
How many did Braun have? Button had one. I think Barrichello must have had six or seven.
Yeah, but that was kind of a little bit different as well, wasn't it, with Honda?
Yeah.
But I mean, it gives them a good baseline. But as we also mentioned as well, of course, they're really trying to kind of dampen down expectations at the moment, aren't they? You know, it is, we're going to be backmarkers, we're not going to be fighting, everything like that. And even if they end up kind of being towards the back of the pack, I don't mind that, as long as they're not cut adrift, as long as we don't end up in a 2010 situation again, where you've just got teams that are way off the pace.
Yeah.
That would be the only kind of
bad outcome. 2010, 2011 especially, there was no point in them showing up. Like, even if they got some luck at the start and found themselves on the fringe of the top 10, those teams were always going to finish a lap or two behind everyone else.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what's the point?
I think I can't remember which year it was, but Malaysia, wasn't it? One of the HRTs got up to like sixth place early on.
Oh, Karthikeyan was 10th and under the red flag, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then obviously just was still immediately last again.
He managed to give Button and Vettel punches that race as well.
He did. He really went.
Although
both
of them weren't his fault.
No, you can make the argument, yeah, both times they kind of just used him rather than driving around him, which is quite funny. I mean, there were some other drivers as well, of course, in with a shot at Cadillac, wasn't there? They looked at Jack Crawford. For a while, it looked like Felipe Drugovic would be a really good shout.
Yeah.
But whether that's now Alonso might be on the way out, he's going to get that Aston Martin seat at some point. The hilarious one, as always, of course, is why isn't Mick Schumacher getting the drive? He's not good enough to be a Formula 1 driver.
James Vowles put it perfectly like a year ago now, didn't he? Where he basically said Schumacher is never anyone's first choice. He just doesn't have the talent.
No.
He's always like, well, if we can't get our first two choices, then Schumacher's there as well.
Yeah, but he's just not good enough, is he, ultimately? And I think more people still need to realise that. Like, yeah, Haas 2021 was a bad scenario to be in. And ultimately, I think, because it was on Drive to Survive, wasn't it, that he had a real toss-up between Haas and Sauber. I firmly believe he made the wrong choice to go to Haas instead of Sauber.
Who would he have replaced in 21?
Gio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess, was Giovinazzi there in... Yeah, Gio was there in 1920, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
He could have gone in for a year with Kimi.
I reckon that would have been way better for him, to be honest.
Exactly.
He'd have lost.
You know, he probably would have. But I think, you know, he could have certainly learned a lot more from Kimi. The car was probably better as well. But not much in it. Not as much as the gaps ended up showing.
I wonder which pay driver Hassel ended up with.
Yeah, it's a good question. It could have been Giovinazzi for all we know.
Well, could have been, yeah.
But because this is always a weird thing, isn't it? Because obviously Ferrari were basically paying, you know, they were obviously, it would have been a deal with the engines tied in and everything else. Obviously, they basically had two juniors in at that point. And it was kind of like, if you had more potential in Mick, then put him in Sauber, where they've been able to nurture Ferrari to literally Charles Leclerc a couple of years beforehand.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you still want Gio in Formula One, lob him over in Haas and see what happens. But they didn't want to do that.
No.
Which is,
well,
always
Ferrari
a
for you, isn't it?
Exactly. Again, we're going very, very off topic early on. But, I mean, it's that thing, isn't it, of Cadillac, I'm sure kind of a couple of years in, will depend where they're at. We'll kind of decide what their look at drivers is like. But I can see Bottas and Perez being there for a couple of years. Whoever does better getting held on for a couple more years. Maybe they bring in an American. Maybe they try and bring in a junior. I mean, for a while, I remember Cadillac was saying that they would happily run an F2 and an F3 team if it improved their odds of getting an F1 team as well. So it would be quite cool to see them kind of have junior Formula teams as well, but it's not going to happen.
Not anytime soon, is it? But yeah, we'll see. I don't know how hard it is to enter a team into Formula 2, to be honest. I've never really looked into that.
It's pretty locked down now. But again, you kind of think, you look at it and go, they could easily buy out another team, like in the same way a lot of other Formula 1 teams have now.
Exactly. Red Bull
have
got the money, haven't they? General
Motors. Exactly. Prema is, well, usually run by Ferrari as well, but nobody wants Prema anymore. so there are kind of little nuggets and things like that. The big one, though, Jamie, or what could be hilarious if true, which I think we can both say probably isn't true, Alex Palou, apparently Red Bull are interested in signing him up, which would be fascinating, but I think a disaster.
Yeah, this is for the Red Bull seat next to Verstappen.
Staggering.
Which they've obviously struggled to find a solution to ever since Daniel Ricciardo left, really. Well, Perez was good for a year and a half, we'll give him that. And then, it's looking like they're... I don't know where this has come from, to be honest. I don't know what the source is, but there's sources saying that they're interested in Alex Palou, who, correct me if I'm wrong, three-time IndyCar champion?
Four
in a row?
Four in five.
Okay, very good. And obviously, it's not a well-trodden path coming across from IndyCar to Formula One, but it has been done in the past, I think.
Yeah.
Andre Lotterer?
No.
No? Was Paul de Resta? No, he was DTM, wasn't he?
Paul de Resta was DTM.
Has it been done before?
You had, obviously, when IndyCar kart, that kind of thing. Sebastian Bourdais was probably the last really notable one. Obviously, Jack Villeneuve before that. In more recent times. Montoya, of course, as well. So there's definitely been quite a few examples, although they all came from kart, I believe, rather than IndyCar. But of course, again, Jamie would know nothing about the split and the merger and everything else. So
not at all.
All very, very fascinating stuff. But it would all just go straight over Jamie's head as well. It's not one that's been done in more recent years. Of course, there was, for a little while, we thought Colton Herta could make the switch. Now, I think the main reason why Red Bull could be tempted by Palou is, of course, four-time IndyCar champion as well, and has been cooking in recent years. Obviously, McLaren were interested in signing him services. That was during the mess with Oscar Piastri as well, all at the same time. So there's still rumours as to whether Palou would actually have been promised a McLaren F1 seat at some point. Which, of course, if they'd done that, then clearly they saw potential in him as well. But he's also, I would have to say, he's got to be high risk, high reward. Like, if this worked out, he would be so cheap to bring in for a year. Of course, then his value would skyrocket, of course. But also, of course,
no
on the other hand...
There's no guarantee of anything.
Well, there's no guarantee of anything. And it's also the thing of... Palou has made it quite clear he's not interested in coming to Formula 1. Because obviously he went through the European junior ladder and wasn't that impressive. Mm. I think he came like 14th in GP3 or something. He was nothing particularly special when you look back at his European junior Formula series. But of course, on the other hand, he's made it clear that he doesn't want to come to F1. But I'm sure if he had any kind of sniff at potentially coming in at a top team, you'd suddenly think twice about that, wouldn't you?
You would. But are Red Bull a top team at this point?
Well, my point is they've still got the theory. No one knows who's going to be a top team next year. They've still theoretically got the chance to be. Lot more than a lot of other teams.
Yeah, and Red Bull are really clutching at straws trying to find a driver to fit that second seat, aren't they? So. I think it would be interesting. I know when Montoya came in from whatever it was, Kart, was it back then?
Kart, yeah, back then.
There was a lot of hype around him.
Yes.
And he was excellent from the off, like the move in 2003 Brazil on Schumacher.
Yeah. 2002 Brazil, I think.
Like where he just fully sent it and he just did not care.
I think it was 2001, actually. Sorry.
It would have been 2001, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That kind of vibe where it's just like, I'm here, I'm fast, I don't care. That was Juan Montoya.
Yeah. there is a little bit more context to that, of course. Obviously, he was previously... he was always a Williams Jr. anyway, back in the late 90s. And it was when Villeneuve came to Williams, Montoya was sent the other way for a couple of years. Of course, obviously, then again, back then, unlimited testing time. You don't get access to that anymore. Obviously, Montoya was very, very prepared. And, of course, Montoya won the Indy 500 on debut, Jamie. Like, can you just take a second to understand how unbelievable that is?
Alonso would have done that if his engine didn't blow up.
He was fighting towards the front. He wasn't going to win it, though.
You never know.
He was still unlikely he was going to win it. Although, to be fair, Palou did win the Indy 500 this year. So
on debut or just...
No, not on debut.
Just winning it.
How would he win the Indy 500 this year on debut if he's
a
four-time
three championship?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, good point. Hulkenberg won Le Mans on debut, which is...
Yeah, that was slightly different during arguably Le Mans' worst period ever in terms of competitiveness. But, still winning Le Mans is good going.
Incredible. Very credible.
I mean, it's one of those things. If Palou to Red Bull would be fascinating. And, of course, drivers that come from IndyCar to Formula 1, could go back and normally not do too badly. They can normally rebuild their careers as well. But it is still very high risk. Especially
Marcus Ericsson
for a man that's
to,
at the top of his game.
Went to IndyCar, didn't he?
He has. He won the Indy 500.
Yeah. And poor Chair is an IndyCar. Have I made that up?
He was for one race. This was, again, during McLaren's absolute disaster show where they hired about 18 drivers.
Interesting.
For some reason.
So, yeah, I feel like for Pelot, obviously it's how much of... like, because he could go and win the next two or three IndyCar championships if he stayed there. But he will always have that itch of what could I have done in Formula One. I feel like every racing driver has that a little bit in terms of... I remember when Alex Albon was in GP2, or F2, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And choosing between Formula... he chose to go to Formula E, obviously, until the Red Bull opportunity came up for Toro Rosso.
Yep.
He was basically like, I'm giving away my dream if I sign this contract for Formula E. But that's all he's got on the table, so he had to do it. And then obviously, Helmut Marko got on the phone later in the year. But for Pelot and for any F1 driver, or any car driver who didn't make F1, if the opportunity comes up, you'd probably go for it, right?
It's so tantalizing, isn't it? I think for everybody, because you just want to see, you know, if you spent your whole life dedicated to this, you know, that for a lot of people is the dream from day one. To finally get a chance to give it a go, you've kind of got to take, but of course, there's so many bad stories as well. And like we said, of course, it's a lot, it's not unheard of to go back to IndyCar and then still be successful. But do you give that up at the height of your powers? It's a big gamble.
It is. It is. But at the end of the day, you know, he's already got four championships. Is four versus six or seven any different? What's the record in IndyCar?
I believe it's five, but I could be wrong.
That's actually a lot closer than I thought. I thought it was going to be like eight or nine.
No,
but there we go.
I could be wrong. Oh, no, I think it's seven, sorry, with... I can picture his face. I love
Castro
the guy.
Nevezes.
No, I think you're just looking at Indy 500s.
Scott Dixon.
Sorry, has six.
Okay,
AJ Foyt has seven, but that was during the USAC era, which is
a long time ago.
And then Mario Andretti, Sebastian Bourdais, Dario Franchitti, and Alex Palou are all on four.
Bourdais
won four kart championships back to back. He was so dominant.
What
when years? Kart, oh, sorry, Champ Car even. Between 2004 and 2007, he won every Champ Car.
He won pre-F1, and then he came to... Wow, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He came to F1 off the back of
that.
Four Champ Car championships. That's why he was so good in Australia. Oh, wait, it was because Champ Car didn't have ABS or traction control. And, of course, that's why so many F1 drivers stacked it, because they were so used to traction control, and, of course, he was fine. And then the car broke down with two laps to go.
He still got a point, despite not finishing.
He did still get a point, yeah.
Those 2 points that Raikkonen got also... Oh, no, that was 2007, sorry. I was going to say they won him the title, but no. Not quite.
Yeah,
interesting.
Just,
I would like to see it. I would like to see it, personally, just for something different.
It's that weird
what are the alternatives?
Isn't it? With Red Bull, of... You've got a second team there. Lob him in that for a while and see how he gets on, but they just can't do that at the moment.
But then also
it's
the draw
so weird.
For Palou himself...
Yeah.
If you're like, you want to drive a Toro Rosso or you want to drive a Red Bull,
yeah,
of course you're going to be put me against Max. I want to see how I'd stack up.
Yeah, and to be fair to them, they do race together on iRacing. They're on the same iRacing team and things like that. So I'm sure Max would
be
happily welcome him in. Yeah,
I think Max would be quite happy to welcome him because he thinks it'd be easy knowing Verstappen.
Yeah, possibly. But again, if he races with him on iRacing and stuff, maybe... Maybe he knows he could be a tough customer. It'd be so fascinating.
It really
so
would
fascinating.
Be. Yeah, I would like to see it. I don't know what the alternative Red Bull have. Because you're going to struggle... Excuse me. You're going to struggle to poach a McLaren driver. Absolutely.
You're not. Unless Lando, for some reason, walks away with his tail tucked between his legs because Oscar wins this year. I still always think that should have been what Red Bull pushed for a few years ago. Or pushed more for.
Yeah, I guess they were just happy with Perez at the time, weren't they? But yeah, obviously the junior drivers... Oh, sorry, they're not even junior anymore, are they? The sister team drivers, neither... I think Hadjar will probably be in the seat next year, but I don't think he'll pull up many trees next to Max. And then
Arvid Lindblad?
Lindblad won't go straight into Red Bull. He's a teenager.
No, but he might get moved up pretty quickly. Oh, yes, it's Red Bull. Red Bull would never put any teenager in their top team.
Well, not unless they are going to be the greatest full time, which I don't think, respectfully, Arvid Lindblad is on to be. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, we'll was Christian Klien a teenager when he got to Formula 1? No, Jaime Alguersuari was.
Surely not. Alguersuari was, Verstappen was.
I was trying to think whether...
Vettel was 19, wasn't he?
Vettel was 19 when he made his debut, but that wasn't with Red Bull, was it?
No, they did a De Vries on Vettel and snapped him up after one race for a different team. Exactly. But that one actually worked.
That one didn't work out too badly for him. I mean, Jamie, this is meant to be the Dutch Grand Prix preview, and so far we've spoken nothing about the Dutch Grand Prix.
Yes.
It could rain. I don't know what the chance of rain is looking like. Let me have a quick look.
I saw earlier in the week it could rain Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, it reckons it's going to rain all week, which is quite funny.
Oh, fantastic.
So...
I do like the Dutch Grand Prix in the wet. I think in the dry it's a very, very mid race. That's a bit generous as well.
Yeah.
Qualifying's always fun this year, especially with how close the gaps are in quali. Verstappen's home race, obviously... He's got a lot of success in the last 4 years.
So track. It reckons there's a 70% chance of rain Saturday around when qualifying would be. Sunday, it's meant to be about a 50% chance of rain throughout most of the day and then thunderstorms in the evening. That
Lovely.
Could be. It will now mean that Zandvoort gets no rain all week, which of course, because the Netherlands is all flat, it won't flood entirely, which is good news for them.
That is good news. Although Zandvoort is right by the beach, so...
It is.
Yeah, that might make it more wet, if... Who knows? I didn't do geography beyond year 9, so you don't ask me.
What GCSEs did you do? I know this is so far off
topic. This is really off topic. I did... I did triple science. I did... history, Spanish, computing.
Spanish?
Yeah,
computing Ola. Seems more like you.
And what else? I can't remember what else I did. Maybe that was it. All the default ones you have to do in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was it.
Nice. I think I did history, geography, psychology, geology.
Psychology?
Yeah.
Flipping it. I can see why you're a YouTuber.
It wasn't really a GCSE. No, I was terrible at it. Same with geology. And then I did business studies as well, which was the only thing I enjoyed.
That might come in handy, yeah.
Yeah, that was the only thing I enjoyed.
There we go.
Fun bit of lore with Jamie and Matt right there for you.
Exactly. I won't ask you your results because I don't want to.
I did terribly. I bet you got like 9 A stars or something, didn't you?
No, only 7.
7 A stars? The highest I got.
7 A stars array. There you go.
Okay. The highest I got, I think I got 3 Bs in maths and English.
Nice. There we go. That right. Was the best idea. Let's digress from that. GCSE results from 9 years ago for me.
Oh, that's so worrying. 9 years ago, man. That's so
I do have a quiz. Do you want to do your quiz?
I want to do my quiz. Let's do that.
Because it is the Dutch Grand Prix.
It is.
Obviously, we spoke briefly about Max Verstappen's success here with 3 race wins at his home race.
Yep.
And 1 podium in the other one.
Yep.
There are 17 Formula 1 drivers with more than 1 home win in their career.
Okay.
You've got no timer, but if you get one wrong, that's it.
Okay.
And you've got to name them all, including the one we just said.
So Max Verstappen, obviously, first of all.
Correct.
Lewis Hamilton, obvious one.
Correct.
More than 1 home win.
It includes European races in terms of they could have 1 win in their home.
Is this like Michael Schumacher winning at Hockenheim and Nürburgring?
Yes.
Okay.
So Schumacher, is that an answer?
Yes.
Well, he only won 9. So.
Did he win 9 races at Germany?
Yes.
That's mad. Trying to think. Senna only won 1 Brazilian Grand Prix.
There are a weird amount of Brazilians. So
yeah, I was going to say Senna. Yeah. I don't think was one of them though, but I'm pretty certain like Fittipaldi and Piquet did.
They are both correct.
Yeah. Okay. Trying to think of like Italians. Ascari.
Yes, he's won two Italian Grand Prix.
Did Fangio win two Argentine Grand Prix?
Fangio won five Argentine Grand Prix. Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to think, like, did Reutemann win two Argentinian Grand Prix or did he not? I don't, honestly don't know. That's far before my time. Not a chance I remember that. I don't believe Rosberg won that many races in Germany, if any. No, he definitely won one. He definitely won 2014. And there was no Grand Prix in 15. Did he win 16? I'm trying to remember what the German Grand Prix in 2016 even was.
I don't... A lot of moving under braking, is what I remember about it.
Yeah. I'm going to say Rosberg won two in Germany.
That would be incorrect.
Ah, damn it.
There are a lot of answers on here.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna keep going, though, because I don't care.
Okay.
I'm going to say Alain Prost.
Yep, that's the third most common. Six, French Grand Prix.
Yeah, mad. I'm trying to think of, like, other...
Almost all the ones left are British or Brazilian.
Are they all British or Brazilian, are they? Okay.
Apart from two, yeah.
I'm going to say, does Coulthard at Silverstone technically count?
Yes.
Yeah.
Technically, what's was one of them a
brand? He's Scottish, isn't he?
Oh, well, that's British.
Yeah, I suppose.
United Kingdom?
No, because you got to remember, Coulthard wasn't that successful, so he's Scottish, not British. There's a difference, Jamie.
Ah, I had Coulthard 13 race wins, pretty successful.
Jackie Stewart?
Yes.
Jim Clark?
Yes. Five for Jim Clark.
Moss?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think Senna only won one Brazilian Grand Prix. So I don't think he's on there. But I'm trying to think of, like, other Brazilian... Like, Brazil is so weird because they didn't have many champions, but the ones they did won, like... They don't have... Brazil doesn't have a single one-time champion, do they? Felipe Massa!
Yeah,
sorry,
there you go.
Just remember,
he was a 0.5-time champion.
Yeah. Obviously, Barrichello only ever got one podium at Brazil.
Yeah.
Incredibly
odd. Could have had about four wins.
Yeah. How many more have I got?
Four. Technically, you've named two of them.
Have I? Did you not lock in Carlos Reutemann?
No, Reutemann's not there.
Okay.
But I'm going to spoil it for you.
Okay.
So, Ayrton Senna's won two.
Did he win two in the end, did he?
Call yourself a Senna fan. What
did
is
he
this?
Win 91 and 93?
91 and 93, there you go.
Oh, I did. For some reason, I thought he only won 91.
I thought he only won 93 because he went mental on the radio after that, didn't he?
No,
or was
that
it 91 he went mental?
That was 91 he went mental.
The other Schumacher also won two.
Ralph,
German
I was thinking that,
So they between them, they won 11 Grand Prix in what must have been about 15 years in Germany.
But that was also in a time where Germany was usually hosting two.
True, yeah.
So
the other ones... The what was the overtake?
Fernando Alonso?
Yes, Alonso.
Yeah.
Has won three in Spain. Yeah. What about the ridiculous overtake at Stowe on his teammate?
Oh, Mansell, of course, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that was all of them. So you did it right.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think I did.
Lando Norris is yet to join the list, but might do next year.
Possibly. Possibly. Yeah, that was
but
a good quiz.
There you go. I think you got about four. There you go.
yeah, I suppose. I knew more than that, though, but we'll take it. Predictions for the Dutch Grand Prix. I mean, what the scores on the doors? It's been so long since we did this.
Ridiculous amount of time. Currently, I'm pretty sure it's up to date. I am on 45.
When did you last update the scores?
38. The 3rd of the 20th. No, the 20th. What? That's March. No, it can't be that.
Oh, no, that was when the message was originally done, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's right.
What are the scores, sorry?
45 to me, 38 to you.
Oh, no, I'm definitely closer than that.
That feels right.
That seems about right, yeah. So I get to pick first, then. I'm going to say... Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
So boring.
Yep, and I'm going to say... I want to see George Russell just because it'd be hilarious. But I'm just not sure he will. Although, as I say, it's quite cold, isn't it? So maybe Merck can come alive. 19 degrees. It might be George Russell. I mean, surely Max will want to get another podium at least. Do I bet against Max at the Dutch Grand Prix? Or am I just a bit of a moron? Because I know then Jamie will bet with him.
He's got one podium in the last seven races.
Who, George Russell or Max Verstappen?
No, Verstappen.
Trying to think, other high
That's gap. As many as Hülkenberg. That's crazy.
Ferrari were decent in Monaco, but they weren't that good in Spain. Although Spain's not really a high downforce track anymore. I'm going to say...
Come on, make your mind up.
Max, I'm just going to be boring.
That is very boring.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I don't care. I honestly was so tempted then, right at the last second, to say Lewis, but I thought, no.
I will say Oscar Piastri on pole.
Yep.
Oscar Piastri race win.
Yep.
I actually might go a bit rogue.
Okay.
Just spread my bets, because I just get a feeling Norris will have a bad race.
Fair enough.
Max Verstappen second.
Okay.
And Charles Leclerc. He's doing quite well recently.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't think that'll be the podium, but I'm trying to get Verstappen and Leclerc bang on.
Fair enough.
Get them right at all.
Fair enough. Jamie, last important question then.
Yes.
Could McLaren break an insane stat by the end of the year?
What's that?
Could they get 1,000 points? By the end of this season?
No.
They can afford to drop 35 points before the
Not
end of the year.
Chance.
And they've bagged like...
There's no
They've bagged
way.
Like 5 1-2s in a row now. Since Canada.
There's no chance. So they're dropping 30 points. That's like...
35 they're allowed to drop.
35 points. So yeah, 2 DNFs does it.
Yep.
They're going to crash into each other at the end of the season a few times.
Are they though?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
They almost crashed in Hungary a couple of times.
They did almost crash in Hungary. Yeah.
As we get into the championship rounds, there's going to be a lot of contact between these two McLaren boys.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
I would bang on about that.
Okay.
Just because they've never got this far before. They don't know what they're doing. And the pressure's going to get to them both.
Oscar's won junior championships.
Well, so what?
He's been there before. I mean, he had to go against Zhou Guanyu, but there you are.
It's not exactly the same, is it? Fighting in Formula One World Championship.
No. Fair enough. Have we got anything else to add, JB183?
I don't believe we do.
No. Wonderful. Yeah, it was a slightly rambly episode, but, you know, you guys seem to love that as well. So, a massive, massive thank you to everybody, as always, for listening. If you have enjoyed, make sure you drop us a sub, drop us a follow. Follow us on all those platforms, you know, all the good stuff. And Jamie and I will return. Obviously, hopefully, we're going to have a few more podcasts coming towards the end of the year, especially as, you know, the world gets darker here in the Northern Hemisphere. Jamie will have nothing better to do than to talk to me about Formula One. So yeah, we'll be back early next week to review the Dutch Grand Prix, where Nico Hülkenberg bags his first ever Formula One victory.